Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Hockey's here. Bree's here. Jacob's here. And Horror Acolyte's here. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! How's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I bought Gunpla, so I'm happy.
Doesn't shock me.
Yeah. I know.
Well, what about you, Jacob?
I'm all right. I'm here.
Okay. Cool. Or Acolyte, how are you doing?
Just about awake. I'm almost there.
Almost there.
Just got up from a nap.
I think we could all use a nap sleep right now.
you just nap when the time strikes or the occasion strikes. You don't actually sleep, do you? Or
if I get lucky, it's like an extended rest, which would be like 3 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah. But,
this one was like an hour and a bit, maybe some change.
I used to live like that.
I just live with cats.
Oh, I'll never sleep at that point.
My lighter broke, son of a bitch. I hate lighters. Should we dive into news? There's a whole chunk of news this week.
Yeah,
sure.
All right, let's start things off with sad news. We talked about it last week, and unfortunately, things progressed quicker than anybody expected. The father of Elder Scrolls, Julian Le Fay, has passed away.
Yeah, that's very sad.
Bad news. At least he got to spend a little time with his family. I'm sure it wasn't anywhere near enough, but
This has been a crazy week for deaths. Lost Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yep.
Who else did we lose?
Someone says Osborne.
Yeah, Ozzy.
Chuck didn't Mangione.
Some celebrity chef die?
She died a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they just ruled it a suicide, was the news that came up today.
And Burrell.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the bright side, Hulk Hogan died. Yay! That's mean of me to say, but like I've been following wrestling my entire life. And I know what a piece of shit he is. And then the Gawker stuff came out. And then we all learned what a racist piece of shit he is. So, yay! The Switch 2 has sold 1.6 million units in June, making it the best console launch in U.S. history, beating out the PS4 that had 1.1 million.
Huh. Well, I guess.
People buying them Switches.
Yeah.
Forza Horizon 5 has now sold over 3 million copies on the PS5, making it the best-selling new PS5 game of the year.
Yep,
sounds about right.
Best-selling PS5 game goes to Xbox.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the best-selling PlayStation game of all time was Minecraft. So,
I think, isn't Grand Theft Auto still higher? I don't know. Anyway, outsold Astrobot.
Wow.
Already.
Damn.
Yeah. After all the doom and gloom, Final Fantasy 16 was the number 4 selling game in all of June on Xbox.
Wow.
Why was there doom and gloom? I'm confused.
Because people said it flopped and nobody bought it.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they were saying it didn't even debut in like the top 40 games, which on the episode that week, we disproved them by saying it ranked in like the top 20 for both versions of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, number 4 selling game.
I'm glad it did well. Hopefully these jackasses will bring us fucking Final Fantasy games.
I hope. Microsoft. What, Bree?
I was going to say, we're only missing a few now.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're missing a ton.
Are we?
We are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like all the Saga games.
Oh.
Theater Rhythm, Live Alive, Onanaki, Lost Sphere.
Yeah, okay.
Secret of Mana remake.
I was just thinking of
the mainline games, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Final Fantasy.
No, I'm talking about all the Square. I want Live Alive. Yeah, no.
I'm surprised.
Crystal Chronicles we could get. Online, throw us Crystal Chronicles. Microsoft has announced that their holiday titles will not be $80. They have rolled them back to $69.99. They have issued refunds to pre-orders who have already gone through. And, hopefully they don't try this shit soon next year, but I'm sure they will.
Question for you, Joe. How many games were you able to buy after they gave you that $10 refund for God knows how many games?
I have none pre-ordered.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Why the fuck would I pre-order a title that's out in 7 months? I don't know if I'm going to live 7 months.
Because you're a consumer whore, that's why.
Nah, if I pre-order, I do it like 2 days before it comes out.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. Because A, I wait to see if there's going to be any kind of collector edition or pre-order bonus or pre-order discount or whatever else. And two, maybe we could review it.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes me not pre-order stuff right there is just the hopes and prayers that maybe I can get my fucking grubby little hands on them.
And the funny thing is, I probably get the least games out of everyone on the show because everybody else gets the game. Oh, man. Anyway, lots of rumors are flying around already that Fable might get pushed to 27.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. Already we're hearing rumblings. That worries me that we're a year and a half away from the targeted release date, and they're already like, might not make it.
I mean, at least they're being realistic about it.
I'm just hoping the devs that are making it are still going to be there if they have to push it back.
It has closure of the studio right after it launches.
Yeah, I don't fucking trust the industry at all right now.
Coltrane, must you walk across my desk while I am doing stuff?
Of course.
Thank you. Speaking of delays, Inazuma 11 Victory Road, which was slated to come out August 18th, is now November 13th.
Okay. For polishing, or did they not say?
I didn't get a reason. I would assume it's polishing. Maybe they want to avoid Helldivers and Gears releasing in August, but November's going to be even worse, so I don't know what the fuck they're doing. But maybe they just needed more time. So,
okay.
I'm still excited for it. I'm probably the only one who knows what the hell it is, though.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't remember what that even is off the top of my head.
Bree, do you know what Inazuma 11 is?
Nope.
Or Acolyte, do you know what Inazuma 11 is?
Not a clue.
Jacob, do you know what Inazuma 11 is?
No.
Soccer RPG made by Level 5.
No wonder I don't know what the fuck it is. Okay.
It has been on like every platform known to man except Xbox, and this is the first time they're putting it on Xbox. So I hope it does well.
Me too.
It's a niche title, but hopefully people give it a chance and check it out. I'm going to check it out. I'm not huge into soccer games, but Level 5 makes solid stuff. So I'll give it a go. I'll give it a try, see how the RPG elements play out, and maybe I'll dig it. Like Fantasy Life. Yay. Weird news. Last Friday on the 18th, Xbox users got a notice that, hey, movie sales and TV sales are going to end. When? Already happened. You can no longer buy movies and TV on the Microsoft Store. The option in the store is completely gone. Your library, at least for now, will remain playable on the app.
Yep.
I didn't even see that.
Yep, I got that email on Friday, which was my birthday. And yeah, it was like a terrible birthday present. Just you goodbye. Have
a lot invested in there at all?
No.
No? Or anything on your end?
I don't think I have anything, unless there was like a free option like a while back. That'd be about it.
Because I know they gave away a lot of free like anime stuff over the years. Jacob, you got a lot of that stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I got that. I got a few movies through them just because of like the sales that they would offer. But the only thing of importance that I have is a short-lived NBC show that I really liked way back in the day. Because it was the only way you could get it in Blu-ray format at the time. It's what probably show? Up on Trauma. It was a very short, like, it only lasted for a season. But, like it was about EMTs and stuff. And, it, like, the interesting thing is that, like, nobody watched the show, but everyone who was on the show went off to do, like, much bigger things. Like, Cliff Curtis ended up on Fear the Walking Dead. Ty, whatever the crap his name is, he ended up on Chicago Fire and was, like, engaged to Lady Gaga for a while.
What am?
Amy Garcia was on Lucifer. The ER doctor who was always in there, he ended up being, like, the dad on Arrow. But yeah, it was just like, oh, like, Kevin Rankin ended up on Justified. Like, everyone who was on it just, and like, it was like a springboard for everyone on it, but everyone forgets it.
Hmm.
So I really liked it. It was, I thought it was a really well done show, but
yeah, I'm going to check up on it's out on DVD, but I guess it never got,
I have it on DVD. Yeah. I actually pre-ordered it on DVD when it came out.
Nice. I had a few stuff that I had. Like, I used to buy random TV episodes on the Xbox 360, and then they changed their storefront, and, like, all of those disappeared. And then they changed their storefront again, and they were all back for some reason. So I would, like, watch... What the hell was on, what was the show with Nick Cannon on MTV? The
improv Wild and show. Out?
Yeah, Wild and Out. I used to watch all that on there because it was uncensored. Yay.
I hated that show.
Cursing.
No fucking way.
Fucking serious.
I don't fucking believe that. I think that's bullshit.
What do you think, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
You disagree?
Bitch, you heard me!
Nah.
The new release, Ready or Not, has sold 1 million copies across Xbox and PlayStation.
Nice.
On the flip side, the game is apparently under heavy fire due to a lot of Gen AI use in the game's posters, with zero disclosure on Steam.
Oh.
There's a lot of issues with the Steam version right now. So many. From the fact that they censored it very heavily. Nothing particularly major, for the most part. Like, a lot of it's just, there were a bunch of naked people in it, and they clothed them, and that really pissed off some people.
Zombie dongs.
Yeah. And then there was also some, like, references to, like, child abuse and stuff in it, because you're dealing with bad people, and that got edited out. And that upset people, because that was an important part of that mission or some shit. I don't know exactly, because obviously I didn't play it on PC.
I don't know. I'm more pissed about the AI. The Gen AI. Like, covering up a zombie dick, whatever. But, like, get Gen AI the fuck out of gaming. And life in general. Seriously, Gen AI sucks. Don't use it.
I agree.
Poo-poo. Atari 50 is getting new DLC. The Namco Legendary Pack is coming out soon for all platforms. It will feature a new interactive timeline with Namco's history on Atari. It will include Atari Pac-Man 2600. The Atari Pac-Man game. I'll also include the 5200 and 8-bit versions, arcade versions of Dig Dug and Xevious, and console versions of Galaga, Xevious, Galaxian, and Dig Dug. Not sure if more will be announced or coming, but it'll be $8.
Wow.
Hell yeah. That Atari 50 is one of the coolest fucking products out right now. And the fact that they keep adding to it with DLC is really awesome. Because it's not just like, here's four more games. Like, here's a documentary and a dozen games. How much is it? $7.99. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll throw pennies at your face. They're yours. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora getting a new update December 5th that will include a long-awaited new game plus mode. New skill trees and harder difficulty and all that shit. And a third-person mode.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, third person. Yeah,
I like that. All right.
Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny got a September 30th release date. The game will be $49.99, and a deluxe edition will be available for $59.99. That will include the Wardrobe of Wonder skin pack. The pack itself will be $15. You could save $5 by getting the package. And then a collector's edition will be $79.99. Will include a wooden dice tray with a dice set, card, stickers, and a poster. PS5 and Switch only.
Oh.
Of course.
Yeah. No collector's edition for Xbox.
Yep.
The Chinese Room, developers of Still Wakes the Deep, Dear Esther, and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, has bought their freedom from Sumo Digital. The studio had been concerned about Sumo offloading them to a private equity firm, so they're like, fuck it, let's do it ourselves. Studio director Ed Daly is now the overall studio head.
I love when shit like that happens.
Yeah. So that's cool there. 1047 Games is unlaunching Splitgate 2, sending it back to beta until sometime next year. Splitgate 1 is going offline August 22nd, and 45 more staff members are being laid off, about 28% of what was left.
Yikes.
This thing's doomed, and so is that company.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Apparently people really kind of like Splitgate 1. Apparently it was actually popular amongst people who played those style of games. It was apparently really good, but there's apparently been a lot of issues with number 2. Huh.
Yeah, shame. I don't play it, so not my kind of game.
Same here.
Hot on the heels of last week's news that was Bree's birthday, today is Raider Biz's birthday. Happy birthday, Raider Biz!
Happy birthday, Raider!
Jacob, wish him a happy birthday.
I already did.
Well, it didn't come through.
Happy birthday, Raider Biz!
You need a better mic. We gotta get you a better mic.
You! Bitch!
Yeah, you heard me. Oh, you want to hear a good one?
Kids are gone for the summer. Sure. I can squirt everyone I want.
There you go.
All right.
Supermassive Games is losing another 36 employees, and they are delaying Directive 8020 to next year.
God damn.
That's Little Nightmares 3 is not impacted by this, though, and it should still be on time.
That is good to hear. Very, very good to hear. Last bit of news I have is about Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown. The good news is they announced the second year of content, which will include houses at Season 8, and the Season 4 added the casino just recently. The bad news. The casino is banned in over 60 countries already due to gambling restrictions.
Hopefully those numbers keep getting higher. And-
Ah, oh, I love Maki, what news do you have?
I don't have any. My brain's empty right now.
That is surprising.
I know, right?
Horaclite, what news do you have?
Only one piece, I guess, and it's a game announcement. There's going to be a Clive Barker Hellraiser game. Hellraiser Revival.
Hello.
Which, what kind of game is it gonna be? That's why I considered it newsworthy, because it's one of the first legacy brand like horror games to be a single player game, or at least have a single player component to it.
It's a 4-on-1 asymmetrical horror game. Yay!
Yeah, it's not another one that's being thrown in the mix. It's asymmetrical, which is kind of nice to see another narrative driven game from one of the legacy series. Like, previously, all that we really seen was, like, the Retro Realms ones that were, like, the 16-bit with, like, not really a story, just, you know, they threw the Halloween and Evil Dead kind of licenses in there. But, yeah, this one's, like, a full-on narrative experience. It's supposed to be kind of themed around, like, the first two movies, to my knowledge, but still set apart from those. So it will deviate lore-wise, I think, from, like, the universe or whatnot. But, yeah, Clive Barker's like heavily into the production process of the game, so should be pretty good. I'm hoping it does well.
The trailer features nudity and a sex scene before it gets to the gore and violence, so you know it's gonna be good.
What? Yep, I'm already. I started watching it while he was talking, and I'm like, oh, this is my kind of game already.
Yeah.
Well, out of all the legacy series, like that one's got like kind of sex and, you know, pretty graphic gore mixed into the thematics of the series. So if it didn't have those things, I would be concerned.
Yeah.
A lady in the trailer is very pretty, dark. So I'm all for it.
And they have the original voice of Pinhead, I believe, coming back for the for the lead. So that would be cool to see.
That's awesome.
Yep.
This is looking good. I'm liking this a lot.
Bree, what news do you have?
Well, the only thing I have left was that there's over 100 games being delisted from Japanese PlayStation Store. The Japanese publisher Entergram is removing all of their PS4 and Vita games later this year. Even though this won't affect most of our listeners, like, it does show a disregard for consumers' desire for game preservation. So, yeah.
Why are they getting rid of them?
I'm not sure.
Like, are any of these titles, like, available stateside? Like, whether it's on, like, Steam?
Most of them, no. It's mostly in the PlayStation Store.
Okay. Like, what kind of games are they?
I was going to say, are they, like, real games, or are they shovelware bullshit?
Let's see. It doesn't really list any games in the article that I have here. Just the publisher Entergram.
I don't know. Sony gets so much garbage on their store. I'm actually going to paste a link in chat. I want everyone to click on it to see what kind of crap they deal with.
Oh, they do a lot of visual novels
that we don't have to deal with on Xbox. Like, I know we're getting sick of triple stacks. I wish it was just one release of the game. If it was just one release of the game, I don't think people would be so upset. But, like, we don't get the AI slop that PlayStation does. We don't get the single-level games that PlayStation does. Like, they legitimately sell one level of a game for $1 with a platinum trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you buy level 2. For $1 in a platinum trophy. It is dumb.
It looks like Entergram does a lot of visual novels, the kind of stuff that Aki would probably like. Meta meet cute. Looks like some cute, like, you know, lesbian stuff going on there.
No!
So is there the possibility that they're getting delisted because of the whole funding thing that's happening with, like, Steam and Itch?
I don't know. That could
be. These are PlayStation games. I don't see how those would.
Unless, like, maybe, like, PayPal's telling Sony that they need to clean up their store.
Yeah. It's just wild. And it's
they simply
100.
Stated they are simply ending sales for the game. They are mostly exclusive to the Japanese store, with none of the games featured available outside of Japan. So,
okay.
There you go.
It
doesn't affect us at all, because we are stupid, filthy Americans.
Yeah, and we have other things that affect us instead that are significantly worse.
than titty games, yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob, what news do you have?
Not a whole heck of a lot, really.
You're going to tell us about Disney Dreamlight Valley, though, right?
Well, I will now.
Spree.
So. Are a bunch of sound bites going to get played over? Okay.
That was the same one.
That's it. That's all I'm doing. Go ahead. Okay, Disney, go ahead.
We good?
Floor is yours.
Okay, so pretty much last week, my wife and kids went up to Maine to visit a family friend. And so because I had to work and stuff, I stayed home. But of course, my free time was filled up with...
porn.
Masturbation.
No, not nearly as much as you'd think. I'm not the kind of girl that can't tell. Anyway, so I got in an absolute shit ton of time with Disney Dreamlight Valley, which is, I know you're all like, but you already do spend a shitload of time with it. Yeah, but this time, because I was already done with the Star Path, and there's not going to be another one for like a couple weeks at least. I got to focus on the Storybook Vale DLC, which actually came out back in December. And like, I just haven't been able to really mess with at all because, I mean, first off, job, family, podcast. So I only get to play like X amount, not nearly as much as you all think I'd get to, but I got to focus on it and holy crap, there was a lot of content in this drop, and I realized like the amount that I got done was like, if I was playing at my current rate, I got like a month's worth of work done in like one weekend. But yeah, it's a lot of quests. I already had Hades unlocked, but now I also have Maleficent and from Sleeping Beauty. And pretty soon I'm going to have Aurora as well, because I'm almost done with the DLC, but not quite. But yeah, I got like a shitload done in the game. Like, I was really surprised. So, and then next is coming some Inside Out free content. We don't know other than some furniture, but it's believed that we're getting Joy at the very least.
Nice.
So yeah, that's all the Disney Dreamlight stuff I have for right now. Also, I'd highly recommend if you haven't already, check out the movie K-Pop Demon Hunters on Netflix. It is so good. It is better than it has any right being. And
what really is it?
So it's aimed at kids, but. It's by Sony Animation, like the same team that was that does like or the same company that does the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse series. And so it has animation kind of similar to that. Like, think of it like halfway between that and like Kubo and the Two Strings. So like there's times where it looks like it's claymation, but it's not. But it's about these K-pop, this female K-pop trio that is also these demon hunters who like save the world, and like they're at the time they're about to like prevent this demon from ever getting back to Earth ever again, and one of them has like this huge discovery, and meanwhile there's also this rival boy K-pop group that suddenly come on the scene, and it seems like they might be demons too. And so like I'm not explaining it well, just go in there with no expectations and no knowledge of this thing, and it's amazing. It's really good.
Yeah, I have been suggested it on more than one occasions at this point. So
you need to check it. Like, and the music in it, because of course it's K-pop, it goes unnecessarily hard as hell.
Nice. I like K-pop, so that works.
Yeah, it's really good.
Only your dick went hard. One day.
No one needs his right to get hard.
Take the right pills. It'll happen for you.
Yeah.
Right, keep anything else anyone want to talk about? Or are we diving into reviews?
Reviews, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, because you only have one
thing.
You don't want to hear about me shitting my guts out while getting a boner?
What did you want to say, Marie?
I wanted to say the word spatchcock.
Spatchcock.
Yes. My birthday dinner involved a spatchcocked turkey. I had the leftovers for dinner. It was delicious. But, you know, spatchcock. It's just a fun word.
What?
What does it mean?
What is it? It's where you take the breastbone out of the turkey and you flatten it and you cook it that way.
Huh.
It cooks a lot quicker. You cook it over a fire that way. It's fabulous.
Oh, crud. I did forget one bit of news. Hey, whatever. Netflix has greenlit a live-action Assassin's Creed show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not gonna do piss poor like every other live-action thing they've done with Assassin's Creed at all.
Oh, I was thinking more of it, like all live-action video game adaptations that Netflix has done. Like
that would also be extremely fair, because they're not very good at it.
I mean, Netflix isn't the one making them. They just fund them. Actual directors are the one to blame for that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they're also the ones who pick the, you know, pick the directors and pick, like, the producers and stuff like that. Like, they still wield, like, a huge amount of power with
it. Okay, let's put it this way. If all of you did poor reviews,
it would be your fault.
I'd blame you, not me.
Yeah, but all the companies would blame
you
as they do, because you're the one in control. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, like,
well, Netflix might blame all those people.
Every fucking one of you under the bus.
That would not do hard for you. If you're going to throw any of us under the bus first, make sure it's Jacob. That way the bus won't hit the rest of us.
Yeah, if I threw him at a bus, the bus would get damaged. Jacob is like solid as a rock. He's like Juggernaut.
I'm more like the Blob.
I'm trying to talk you up, man.
Oh, well, you know, I'm already married, thank you.
You're fat!
All right, we ready for reviews?
Yes.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is Eden Zero, developed, published, and given to us courtesy of Konami. Thank you, Konami. Released July 15th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $59.99. This is a 3D action role-playing game based on the space fantasy comic anime Eden Zero by Hiro Mashima, I believe. Creator of the Fairy Tale and Rave Master, the player controls a diverse cast of characters as they embark on an epic adventure across different planets while battling powerful enemies. Aki, what is Eden Zero?
Okay, so this is exactly what you said it was, man. Well, in this, you play as a young man named Shiki. He was raised by a bunch of robots on a planet that only had robots and him on it. So that's great. And one day, a girl shows up. Dun, dun, dun. And everything gets fucked up. Big shocker. And he decides to go with her after all the robots go crazy. And he starts his adventure, finally seeing the rest of the universe. He hadn't even thought of going and seeing the universe because she came in a spaceship that looked like a boat. So he's like, oh, we're going to go visit the other countries. Exactly.
Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat.
Exactly.
Sailing on a boat. Okay, sorry.
And he got super excited just because he thought he'd be able to see maybe the other lands on this planet. And then suddenly he's in space and he's like, fucking what? And yeah, you all start, you know, doing your little adventures. And all of these span off the fact that he wants to make friends and that she's what is basically a YouTuber. Yeah, she's a YouTuber. That's one of our two main heroes. Yeah. And she ain't even a good one, and it's painful, and it hurts. So these people have, you know, their natural abilities, but some of them also have these gear systems that are basically magic, more or less. And Shiki has one that allows him to control gravity, so he can crush things real easy, or he can make people float. Woohoo! And it's just about him trying to make friends. And the thing is, this world is filled with robots, with people, with different types of alien creatures, all this fun stuff, because it is the whole wide universe. And lots of people look down on robots, and he doesn't. That's kind of the crux of this game, is he likes robots. He thinks they have a heart, so he can be friends with them, even though most people just see them as fucking robots. So yeah, he ends up wanting to, just because, again, he has the IQ of a dog turd at best, he decides we're gonna go visit this mythological individual that no one's ever seen called Mother, because he has a feeling he's met her before. He doesn't remember it, but he feels like he's met her before. And that would really help this girl's YouTube career, basically, if she got a video of that happening. So that's what they go out to do, and they get into all sorts of hijinks whilst trying to find a crew for his ship that he gets in order to go do that. So yeah, this follows the anime apparently pretty well. I haven't actually seen this anime, but it does list different chapters as different arcs, so I have to assume this covers multiple seasons, would be my guess. And yeah, every character has their basic attacks. They have two different types of finisher attacks. I don't know why they're called finisher attacks, because they sure shit don't finish anything. But basically, there's an X button attack that is just their normal attack, and as you level them up, you can actually get more hits to those combos. Then Y and B are both two different types of finishers that can also be given extra buttons to them, which is weird. Yeah, and you'll find what kind of attack you prefer with each character. Because one of the characters specifically, all I do is just one of her finishers, just because I like how it hits things. Because some of them might be like, oh, here, let me just hit you up close, or hey, let me throw this bomb here, and it's not like there's any ammunition or anything, so you can just keep hitting the throw the bomb and fuck everything up, and it's fantastic. And yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with this so far. I have no idea how far into it I am. I have no idea how many chapters are in this game whatsoever. And since I haven't seen the anime for this one, which I know is a shocker for all the rest of you, I have no idea how far into this I am. I didn't even realize this was from an anime until after I got it. So I just thought it looked cool.
How much time do you think you've sunk into it already?
Well, that's pretty easy. Let me look here. I've put over 24 hours in it so far.
Damn.
Because I'm not totally playing it currently right now as we speak, and haven't totally had it on a good chunk of the day or anything. So I know it has more than what it's listed, because it won't count this until I turn it off, which will be probably when I go to bed tonight. So
nice.
Yeah, right, I've liked this a lot.
Well, it is a $60 game. Give us your verdict on Eden Zero.
there's one more small thing I want to add onto it. If you like butts and boobs, this is totally your game, because all the characters get outfits, and all the ladies' outfits have boob windows, lots of cleavage, or a lot of ass. So, yay. As for what I think about it, I think everyone should buy it. Big shocker. Anime with lots of TNA, I'm for it.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Any other comments on it?
The mini map is annoying. That's it.
All right. Moving on, the next game to talk about is System Shock 2 25th Anniversary Remaster. Developed by Night Dive Studios and Looking Glass Studios, published by Night Dive Studios. Released July 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $29.99. It's the year 2114, and as you awake from cryo sleep on the FTL ship Van Buren, you're unable to remember who or where you are. And something has gone what?
It's Von Braun.
Von Braun.
As in Werner Von Braun, inventor of, like, modern-day rockets.
Okay. Something's gone terribly wrong. Yeah. Hybrid mutants and deadly robots from the halls roam the halls while the cries from the remaining crew reverberate through the cold hull of the ship. Shodan, a rogue AI bent on the destruction of mankind, has taken over. It's up to you to stop her. Horror Acolyte and Jacob, both of you covered this one. Can't talk. Horror Acolyte, start.
So System Shock 2 is a first-person sci-fi FPS RPG, or immersive sim, as they're mostly called nowadays. And just to clarify this from the start, this game is a remaster of the second game, not a remake, which has caused, I guess, a little bit of confusion for some, because there was the recent actual remake of the first game by Night Dive, which, like, fully did an overhaul of the entire first game, whereas this one is just quality of life updates and, like, visual and texture upgrades for the most part. Maybe a little bit with, like, the UI for the console release, especially. But yeah, I've seen some people kind of show their displeasure over the quality of this game compared to the first remake released not too long ago. So yeah, be warned. And also, spoilers ahead, because this is a direct sequel to the first game. So we're going to cover some stuff that's spoilers for the first game, essentially.
I would like to say, yeah, you really do need to be mindful. Like, this is a remaster of a game from, like, what, 1999?
Yeah,
2000-ish. And so, you know, it's a 3D shooter game, like RPG game from that time period. Keep your expectations in check.
Yeah. So, going in knowing that, the game starts out with a Shodan's chillin' voice kind of belittling you, as she did many times in the first game, asking how you could challenge a perfect immortal machine. And the game mentions that Shodan lost her mind and you eventually snuffed her out, and that was the kind of end to the first System Shock game. So yeah, 42 years later, we fast forward, we have an announcement from the Trioptimum Corporation about their new ship, the Von Braun, which is the first starship to be able to travel faster than the speed of light. And it's about to set out on its maiden voyage to other star systems. And this is made possible by the UNN Protectorate, which has newly licensed the Trioptimum Corporation after kind of their shady affairs that happened in the first game. And can I interrupt they're all
for a second?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice how often, like, in sci-fi shit goes wrong on the maiden voyage of, like, whatever spaceship? Like, System Shock, the Lost in Space movie, Star Trek Generations, Starship Titanic. Like, it's always the maiden voyages with these things. It's never, like, any, like, ship that's been around for, like, you know, 200-odd years.
Except, well, that's because if they've been around for 200-odd years, they know what the fuck they're doing, and everything's fixed. On the maiden voyage, something's gonna break somewhere.
And it'll just arrive on Tuesday. For all the Star Trek fans out there. All right, continue. Whatever.
So, on this voyage, the Von Braun is also going to be protected by the UNN Rickenbackers. So that'll be acted as, like, the government support and provide security for the the expedition, and that is being helmed by Captain William Bedford Diego, who is the son of Diego from the first System Shock game, which if you played that one, you know shit went south with him, and he kind of became an evil bastard, so let's see how it turns out for his son in this one. and then, yeah, the game starts out with you getting a distressing message from Dr. Marie Delacroix from the Von Braun. She says the security on the ship's been compromised and the ship's been hijacked by this unknown force. And she says it shouldn't leave by any circumstances. And then after this, you get a kind of flashback sequence that was 4 years previously at a UNN recruitment facility. And this kind of acts as your tutorial for the game. It introduces you to the basic controls, as well as giving you the option to choose from one of three in-game classes, Marine, Navy, or OSA agent. Now, most of these classes are identical. The only real difference is you're going to start out with slightly different upgrades to your base stats in key areas, but it's pretty minor differences, so I don't think there's like too much caution in choosing which class you're going to start out as, in my opinion.
There's there's different achievements for it, so if like,
yeah,
so if you're an achievement hunter, like there is a spot in the game where you have to make that choice. You could save your game, you know, make your choice, get your achievement, hop out, make the next choice, get the achievement, so on.
Well, you have to beat the game with all three classes to get the all the achievements for the classes.
Oh, damn it.
but there's one for starting for each. But yeah, so there's only small differences. And then what you'll do is you go in this kind of like training montage of these missions you get to choose, and they're really quick. It just does like a little text description, but like going on these missions at the start allows you to modify some of your starting stats, so you can like upgrade your character a little bit and give them some direction for how you want to progress their skill trees.
Now,
and
hold on, Denaro, had you played this game before?
No, I've only played the first remake of From Night Die previously.
Okay, this was my first hop into this into this game as well, but also for me the first time with the series, because I was really interested in it, and I'm not gonna lie, that tutorial, like that got frustrating at points, because of, like, there's like a shooting mode, and like it's also trying to tell you how to manage your inventory as well, and it's like you can get stuck in like the inventory mode and all you can do is just like lean back and forth. Oh my god, that was so annoying. Like surprising no one, I struggled in the tutorial.
What? I was going to mention that a little later on. But yes, the user interface in this game is a little awkward, especially for console. It was definitely built with PC in mind. You are able to move at the same time with your inventory open, which actually becomes very useful later on in the game. But like as you're starting out, it is really clunky to navigate. I was like super intimidated when it first opened, because to be able to like switch between like specific areas, you had to like open the menu. You had to click a button to switch to like a new heading. And then in that heading, you had to click a different button to like cycle through like specific kind of subsections of that menu. And it gets like, yeah, it's really terrible on console.
And then you could do this, so like look at your PDA, and you could go through your emails, and like while you still have your inventory, like it just... Yeah, it's a lot to it. So thankfully, like the tutorial, like it's nearly impossible to get killed. I managed to do it, but I did it on purpose just to see if it was actually possible. Surprise, it is. I overloaded my psi thing, like your little psychic ball that you hold.
Yeah.
That's like trapped into your thing. And the thing is that if you overload it, it will delete like one bar, like, or one hit point. And so I was just like, I wonder if the game's going to step in and stop me from doing it. So I overloaded my thing 25 times and then died.
Yeah, no, you can kill yourself.
Get wrecked, sure, bitch.
Unexpectedly for a tutorial. I was surprised. Like, I honestly was surprised.
Yeah, no, this game doesn't shy away from that type of stuff. No.
No.
But yeah, so the UI is one thing to note. Very clunky to start. You, by the time you've like played enough of the game, it won't be as bad. But yeah, at the beginning, it's pretty god awful. So yeah, like on these, when you're in the training section, you'll get to upgrade, as I mentioned, specific kind of like starting stats to your character. There's like general stats that affect your health, speed, and strength. Also your cybernetic ability, which is how effectively you navigate hacking devices, because in the game you're able to hack like different items like vending machines, security systems, and the hacking takes the form of this grid-based minigame where you have to like highlight three nodes, and those come at different difficulties based on a couple factors, mainly your hacking proficiency. And then also, as Jacob just mentioned, there's psionic proficiency, so there's different psionic abilities you can unlock. There's five tiers for those, and then they get the higher you get into the tiers, the more cost, the more you have to spend, to unlock those abilities. And those give you like tons of different options. Like there's temporary stat increases. There's like a psionic blast attacks, fireballs. You can go invisible, siphon life from enemies, like tons of utility for that type of class. But there are limited amounts of psi things you can get in the game to find in the environment, and there's a couple you can buy in vending machines, but you have to be pretty wary about like just, you know, pumping all your stats in the psi and like using those powers whenever you want to.
Yeah, you can't use it all willy-nilly, and on top of it, as I stated previously, you can fuck yourself up pretty badly if you overload your thing. So you have to really be careful with what you're doing.
Yeah, so some caution to that. That's probably the hardest dynamic to the game to get used to, and also one of the biggest differences from the first game, because there wasn't anything like that in the first one. Or this intense like upgrade system, like that wasn't in the first game either. You also get the option to upgrade your damage outputs for like specific weapon types. And one divisive thing that might also shy people away from this game is the weapons in the game can break. Each weapon has a durability of up to 10, and after continuous use of it, eventually it'll drop down to 1, and then you're kind of at the mercy of RNG as to when that weapon's going to break, so you can just be like mid-fight, and you're like, oh shit, my weapon's jammed, and now I can't use that anymore. And if it does jam, you do have the option to repair it if you have a high enough repair skill, and also you can preemptively use disposable maintenance tools to increase the durability item, so you can, preemptively get on top of that so it doesn't break on you during battle. A couple things to note about that, too. Melee weapons in the game do not have durability, though, so there's a couple melee weapons that you can use essentially infinitely. So those may be your best friend in some situations, and I went through probably the majority of the game using the wrench as a weapon.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so after you do your training montage, you go through some more lore, which is you're reassigned to the Rickenbacker by Captain Diego. Then after 5 months of being stationed on the Rickenbacker, you're brought out of this medical pod by someone named Janice Polito. She said your memory wasn't fully restored in the past few weeks, and she's fitted you with these experimental cybernetic implants, and she needs you to help regain control of the situation on the Von Braun. And now this is where essentially the game starts. You get your first weapon, which is the wrench, and you slowly make your way it's kind of like another semi-tutorial-ish area, I guess. Not quite the same as the starting one, but you start out the game pretty slow-paced, and then as you're kind of progressing, there's different lore bits you pick up, usually through cuts, like miniature, I don't know, I wouldn't call them cutscenes, they're like sort of scripted emails that are sent to you from the characters. You'll have like a conversation with them, and then you also pick up these audio logs that will give you some background information from the specific characters' points of view on what's happening on Citadel Station. And as you're kind of starting out the game, you'll learn about this trip they made to Tau City 5, which is a separate solar system, and you went to the fifth planet in that solar system. And while they were stationed there, they got this transmission from a planet, and they went to investigate, and they brought back this artifact, which after they analyzed it, appeared to be some type of AI. They weren't too sure exactly what was going on with it. But once they brought this thing back, all this weird shit started happening on the ship. And eventually all hell broke loose. Large portion of the individuals aboard the ship seemed to be under the influence of an alien hive mind calling itself the Many. And this hive mind has also hijacked the security system of the ship known as Xerxes. So not only do you have these alien possessed people to deal with, but also all the security options on the ship are out to get you as well, which includes all the security cameras, the assault droids, servant droids, and any other security measures that are in place. And then you get introduced to some of the alien enemies essentially you'll face in the game, which are hybrids of like humans that have been infected with this parasite. You'll essentially see this, one of the starting ones is like this humanoid person that like comes at you with like a pipe essentially, and it's like fleshy tubes coming from their skull and going into their chest. And they'll start shouting things at you like, the Many are strong, join us. And then they'll try to bash your head with this metal pipe. And yeah, they also know how to use shotguns and other weapons, so gotta be wary of those guys. You also find it, come across some little monkeys that have psionic abilities, and they'll try and blast you with their psionic powers. Very traditional things like alien eggs, and those things will burst open. You'll have little worms come at you. And yeah, eventually you're most likely going to die, and once you do, you do have the option to respawn at a generator on the floor you're currently on at the cost of some of your currency in the game, which is nanites. Nanites are pretty, I don't want to say plentiful, you'll come across a fair amount of them, and they'll give you access to like the vending machines, and they're also what you use to be able to like modify weapons and perform hacks on items in the ship, because all hacking in the game requires you to spend currency to be able to attempt it. And then if you fail the hack, if you didn't destroy the terminal you were using or the item you were using, then you have the option to try and rehack the machine, and that keeps costing currency each time you go. So you gotta be a little careful there. You can bypass a lot of the difficulty in this game by save scumming, which you can do at will. You can save anytime you want, reload your save. So that'll, yeah, if you're worried about difficulty, I would say if you have no qualms about doing that, yeah, you'll probably be fine through most of the game. And yeah, after the starting section, the entire point of the game essentially boils down to fulfilling objectives for Polito. She'll give you all these tasks to do. Once you complete tasks, you'll be able to get some cyber modules, which will in turn help you upgrade your character even farther. And as I mentioned at the start, this game is a immersive sim. So what that means is this isn't the type of game where like it's an FPS, but you're like not going in like guns blasting. Like there's a lot of strategy involved. You want to take your time and try and evaluate each situation as it comes to you and figure out how to best use your resources for that situation. So that comes into play in different ways, like whether you think an enemy might be too powerful for you at a certain point if you don't have the right weapon to kill them. That includes ammo types. There's like different ammunition types you can get that are effective against specific enemy types. So you gotta be worried about that. If you play on easy, you probably can go in guns blazing a little more than the other difficulty types, but on normal, even then, your resources are fairly constrained, especially if your accuracy isn't the best. So, yeah, you gotta be pretty wary about this.
It kind of goes into like survival horror territory.
Oh yeah.
Some of that kind of stuff. Limited, like, you know, not exactly like jump scares, but you know, there's more body horror in this game than I was expecting. And I'm sure like the graphics looked a bit, I mean, obviously the graphics looked a bit different from how they look in here, but like some of the enemies kind of freaked me out with like just how they look. But also like that Psy, like the Psy ball that you like you hold to enhance your psychic powers and stuff. Like there is like a little wire that is plugged into your wrist, and like if you're holding that thing, you're just walking around with it, and that like that wire keeps moving and stuff. And holy shit, that thing is like. It's
finished the game without using that device. I didn't use any sonic powers throughout the entire game.
I was like, well, I've already played like plenty of shooters. Like, why don't I try like focusing on like the psychic stuff and the hacking stuff, like the stuff I wouldn't normally,
that makes sense.
Into with that. So yeah, I had to fucking stare at that wire a lot, and it bothered the ever living shit out of me.
That one's probably the hardest class to do at the start too, but yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have been chatting about this one for a while. Is there anything else important you guys want to bring up, or are you ready to talk price?
Is there anything you wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, like, Horace covered it pretty damn well. I don't really have much to add to it. I was pleasantly surprised with it. And the only real negative that I, like, it was what I already said at the beginning, like, the tutorial is absolute hell and clearly made for, clearly not made for consoles. As you were saying about price,
it's $30. What do you think?
Hard. Do you want to go or
first?
I think it's totally worth it. I mean, I'm always appreciative of Night Dive's efforts to, bring all these like, remasters or sometimes remakes, for games that are, not necessarily forgotten, but they need a good refresh in the public's memory of them. I'm all for it. Like, I think it's definitely worth checking out if you've never done it before. And if you were a fan before, definitely hop on it. It's good to be back.
Cool. What are your thoughts?
If you go into this knowing that it is based, like it is an older game, if you played modern games like Prey and are used to like immersive sims, I think this is a fantastic game. Obviously, this is the one that inspired all the modern versions of that genre. And Night Dive does a fantastic job with keeping the artistic integrity alive of everything they do from when bringing a lot of older games back to life. And that is also the case here with the visual upgrades. They did a great job. If you're someone that is okay with, having to deal with maybe some clunky menus, this is a fantastic game. I would highly recommend playing it, especially if you've played the first remake they did not too long ago and are itching for some more lore from that universe. Just note the visual downgrade from the recent remake, but still like a polished version of the original release for the two.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Hor, are you sticking around or are you heading out?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
Cool. And we are going to move on to the next game, Demolish and Build 3, developed by Demolish Games, published by Gaming Factory. It released July 11th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $17.99. Step into the boots of a demolition company owner, accepting complete contracts to earn money, allowing you to buy new equipment and upgrade your business. Use powerful tools from sledgehammers to giant excavators. Experience the realism of a true construction site where every brick matters. Jacob, how did the bricks feel with you in charge?
Clunky as shit. Demolish and Build 3 is obviously the latest.
Long-awaited successor to Demolish and Build 2?
I don't know. I don't think that ever came out on Xbox. I thought we got the classic
version. I'm making a joke
before. Oh, whatever. So in this game, like, you start as this guy who's decided to start up his own construction business, but you have to build your own office. And you're by doing that, like, the game's tutorial is going to have you take down this old farm, and you're using a bulldozer with it, and you get to add on various attachments. And the game has a tutorial, theoretically, where it's explaining all the controls and all of the things. However, half the time it doesn't seem like they're actually working or doing anything. And it took me forever to be able to just get, like, because part of it is that the game does not tell you, like, hey, certain things are here, like, you should go over there. Instead, it's just like, step in the vehicle. Okay, well, I literally just spawned in this tutorial right next to a truck. So you'd think I'm supposed to be getting in the truck, right?
You'd think so.
because it's the vehicle. No, it actually wants you to get into the bulldozer that is like 20 feet behind you that you do not see because it's hidden in this very simple graphic aesthetic that honestly it looks like, honestly, I don't want to say like Jedi Outcast level of graphics, but it's just like, this is yikes kind of stuff. I don't know if it was, I don't know what they made it with, but anyway. So yeah, so it turns out you're actually supposed to be in the bulldozer that the game did not tell you about. And you're like, while you're in the bulldozer, we also want you to start using your phone, and you can use your phone to read through emails and do all sorts of other stuff. But we also need you to get out of the phone menu. But we're also going to show you a button that may not actually be associated with said cell phone. So it would just be easier if you just hopped out of the damn bulldozer and hop back in instead of putting away your own damn cell phone. And then you start running the bulldozer into the farm and you realize, wow, this isn't doing a whole lot. So I better attach, the game's like, oh, you can attach like different things. And so you get a jackhammer that you can add to the front of your bulldozer. And then it's going to take you like 5 years to get it done. Like, you are jackhammering away at this, I think it's supposed to be made out of brick. I couldn't really tell from the textures, but it is slow. It is Heinz ketchup slow. It is molasses slow getting anything done in this game. No, it's not fun.
Like, super fun.
Like, and then so after you finally cleared it, you can either hire a company to take it away, or you can take the time to bulldoze everything, you know, all the rubble away and stuff like that. And then you can start doing other missions. And with these missions, you're going to need to buy new equipment, but of course, like, you'll have the money to be able to do it. And yeah. Oh, and also, by the way, the only way that you can save in this game is seemingly by starting up a new task. So let's say you're halfway through the tutorial or halfway through the first level. Well, I had to shut off my Xbox. Guess where it started me?
Beginning.
Right back at the beginning of the level.
Yay!
Any progress that I made, gone. And so you have to like restart the mission, use the clunky ass controls to move all of this heavy like machinery. And it's just, I was hopeful for it. Cause I mean, I've had fun with some of these construction games. I mean, I think it was Construction Sim 3 that I reviewed last year. That was pretty damn fun. I got to swing a crane all over the place and like knock down buildings and lights and stuff like that. That was plenty of fun. This is just, what is it optimized for? PlayStation 2? Like, this is, no. Like, this is not, it's just not fun. It's not like, it's not well made. It controls like crap. And yeah,
damn.
I did not enjoy this.
All right. $18. Still need a verdict.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. No.
Should we give away a copy of Solitaire?
Sure. Go for sure. It.
Yeah.
We don't think, should we? Yeah. I think we should give away.
I thought we all just said that you should.
Yeah, and I agreed. I think we should.
Okay.
Give away clothes. Give away draw. Congrats to Jacob fucking Christ.
That's rigged.
Hey, entered for Raider Fantastic. Biz.
Yay, Raider Biz. Happy birthday. I Raider got you a
Biz
present.
Wins a code. Happy birthday, Raider Biz. I'm glad you won. Jacob winning.
Hey. I didn't win. I gave a gift to Raider.
You were still drawn.
I was very thoughtful.
You were.
I mean, and that's probably like, you know, what the devs will want to hear with this, you know, with my review that, you know, this game made me thoughtful enough that I want to give it to other people so that they can share the wonderment.
You're a wiener.
Probably.
Next game to talk about. Jewel Match Atlantis Solitaire Collector's Edition. Developed by Circuit Software, published by Ocean Media, released July 14th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $9.99. Explore the amazing underwater world of Atlantis. Immerse yourself in the enchanting depths of the mystical underwater realm of Atlantis Solitaire. Delve into numerous intricate underwater levels and build stunning aquatic landscapes. Tackle the latest supersized challenge and match two levels as you unlock a multitude of new solitaire variations. Discover exclusive fish.
Why don't you just say unique?
Discover unique fish to bring the seascapes alive and enhance their splendor. Jacob, you check this one out. Our friend Ryan E. Miller also got his hands on this one, played it, and he wanted to say right off the top of the bat that this one was better than the last three he played when he was on the show previously. He appreciated this one. So,
yeah,
Jacob, what's this one?
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie. Like, I did appreciate this one as well. I kind of went in here with some trepidation of it because I was just like, oh, it's solitaire. I'm going to get to play Klondike all day, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out Klondike is one of like the bonus games. It's not the main game. And I'm like, oh crap, I'm going to have to learn a new version of solitaire. And so with this version of solitaire, there's all these cards that are like laid out on the table. And I don't know if this is more solitaire or puzzle kind of thing. It kind of bleeds in between the two genres, but what it is like you've got these piles of cards all over, not any kind of real order. And occasionally like there's emeralds and coins under there that are used to unlock stuff later on in the game. But what it is that with the face, like you have cards that are face up and then you have your pile that you can pull from and the foundation pile, which is essentially like your current card that you have face up. Standard solitaire stuff so far, except for like how the cards are set up on the table, board, wherever you want to call it. And what you do with this is that you are trying to match the card that you pull into the foundation pile with one of the cards, and it can either be one higher or one lower than it. So like, let's say that you pull an 8 in the foundation pile. You have to see if whether there's a 7 or a 9 on the table that you can match it with. And then so the next thing, like, so you just pulled a 7. So the next thing is that the next thing either needs to be a 6 or an 8. So on and so forth. And doing this will, if you get 5 or more in a row that you're able to match without pulling a new card, you build up these combos, which then add to like the currency that you use to purchase stuff in the game. And they do little gimmicks through it throughout. Like there is like there's like a string card, which is not really like a card per se, but it's like a card will be bound and like you have to flip over like the scissors card to like cut the piece of string, or a frozen card has to be played twice before it will go into the used pile. So like you get all these like kind of gimmicky variations with it. But once you've figured out how to play the game, it is chill as shit. As far as I'm aware, it is impossible to lose. Like, as long as you're paying attention, it seems like it's impossible to lose at this game. Like, the game will give you one mulligan, like, per thing. So, like, if you forget to match a card, it'll let you reverse it once. So you can go back and get it. And the game does have like kind of like a horn sound that'll, you know, alert you if you've messed up. But even if you've blown that mulligan, like just about every other time I played, there were like times where I'd make like two or three more mistakes and I could still come out on top before I ran out of cards. Yeah, like it's a pretty fun game overall. And with this currency that you use, like you're supposed to build a castle that, that you can have like fish, swim in front of and stuff like that. The castle thing is not really anything to get excited about. It's just, it feels like it's part of like an app thing. Like, you know how like sometimes like app games will throw in like weird, like little mini games to supposedly boost the gameplay, but it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. That's what the building your castle thing is kind of like. It's there. It's fine. It didn't do anything for me. But then there are bonus versions of Solitaire in there. And a lot of them, I was not familiar with kind of variations. Kind of like that. I think it was like called like Solitaire 3 that we reviewed like a couple years ago. Like that thing had like 80 different variations. It kind of feels like this. But they do throw in other things. Like there are some match 2 games. There's like a version of Mahjong in here that I didn't get to check out yet. But all of those extra titles can help you unlock more stuff because you're earning currency as you're playing these games. So All in all, like it's a really chill solitaire game. Like I was unexpectedly enjoying it. I was really expecting something that was going to be either like, I don't know, like if it feels mean putting it this way, but simple crap, like some of the other solitaire games that we've reviewed on here.
Yeah.
But it just like, yeah, like this is well done from start to finish. Like right. The only,
did anyone else get any time on this one?
Oh, I was on a bye week.
Aki, you get to?
I wasn't paying attention. What?
Proud of you. Jacob, it's $10. What do you think?
Hold on. I'm actually not done. The only thing that I would change about it, and maybe I didn't get that this far in it, but I would change the card designs. I honestly didn't think that they were that anything to get excited about, but they also kind of looked very similar to each other and not unique. So hopefully that's either something I just haven't unlocked yet in the game, but if not, like if that's not actually a thing, then I would hope that the devs would make it so we could have
the store page just does say choose between multiple card decks.
Okay,
in there somewhere.
All right. All right, so I just haven't unlocked them yet. Okay, cool.
Or found it. I don't know.
Never mind. So
I have a hard time finding your face sometimes.
That was a very nice way of saying
you stick food in your ear.
Oh, it's going to talk about a certain no.
Next organ. Up, Suika Nya developed.
Whoa! I never said whether like they should buy it. You didn't list the price.
$10. Verdict.
Yes.
Already said that. Next game, Suika Nya, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games, released July 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC for $49.99. Slightly cheaper. It's $4.99. significantly cheaper than $50. Suika Nya is a Suika game where you fuse cat spheres to attract cats. Use two similar cat spheres to create a bigger one, and every time you discover a new sphere, a new cat will appear in game, and you find and attract all the cats. Bree, I would ask you if you could attract all the cats, but the proof is in the pudding that I have already attracted all the cats. But in the game, how'd you do?
I did pretty good. This is a Suika game where you drop smaller spheres, match them to make bigger ones, and then you match those to make even bigger ones and so on. And if it feels like you've heard this before, it's because I reviewed Suika and Dragons also from Synergy Circle Games. But this time our spheres are cats. There are adorable cat heads. There's 11 of them, from calicos and tabbies to orange and black cattos. The pixel art is cute. There were some very expressive cat faces, like a grumpy gray cat with orange eyes and a white cat with blue eyes that is clearly irritated. The goal of the game is to unlock as many of the 11 cats into the room on the left as you can, while fusing the cat heads, Suica balls on the panel on the right. The left side is a room built for cats, and you unlock them, and then they appear with cute little animations in the room. One cat's like dancing on top of a shelf, another on the cat tower. One cat is just passed out in a coma, like splayed out. Another one is in a box wagging its tail. Back to the box on the right where you're working, it's game over whenever you reach the top, so you try and plan your matches carefully, which is hard to do, of course, because the falls are random. You have plenty of time to decide where you want to drop your cat spheres, though, and there is a handy chart of the order of what your combos turn into, as well as a preview of your next cat sphere to come. This is a pretty zen style of game I enjoy. It keeps a record of your high score. I think I got the 11th cat my first try, and I had a decent high score, like 6,000 something. I played this game well beyond what was required for the achievements. It's just a chill game. The music is repetitive 8-bit arcade music, but it's cute. Yay, cats!
Yay! $5, verdict.
Buy it. I had fun with it.
Okie dokie. Next game, Secret Paws Cozy Offices. Developed by Sagia Studios and East Asia Soft. Published by East Asia Soft. Released July 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Find the hidden kitties around the office. Secret Paws Cozy Offices is an isometric hidden object game themed around cats and colorful workspaces. Explore unique, adorably decorated cube-shaped rooms as you search for dozens of cleverly obscured felines lying around each stage. Free. What Secret Paws? Cozy Offices.
Was anyone surprised after Joe started talking that this was going to be me doing the review?
No, not really.
Anybody? Okay. All right. So this is a 3D hidden cat game where you can rotate the camera on fixed angles using the bumper buttons. You are in little offices in an isometric view. You can zoom and pan in the space to get a better look. And cats are hidden inside of things like drawers and cabinets, even coffee cups. They're laying down or standing up on their colors. So that their colors match the environment that they're hiding in. So you'll see green cats in the plants and purple cats on the furniture and so on. The cats quite comically look like cat loafs blended with piggy banks. I don't know how else to describe them. So when I say they're laying on their side, I mean it looks like someone knocked over the portly fellow and he can't get back up because his legs are too short. The music was good, like lo-fi beats. There's a hint system that's on a timer. It'll highlight things in red. It doesn't move you to the angle or area of the cat, so you have to rotate the room until you find the red highlighted thing and then fiddle with things until you get it. But yeah, you have to really look in things and guess what things a cat could be hiding in as much as looking for the ones in plain sight. This game is pretty tactile because of the rotation and opening drawers and doors and stuff like that, and I liked that. It felt like you really had to learn what types of places the designers would hide a cat, and then it got easier from there. But it was pretty challenging the first couple rooms to kind of figure out. I would get down to like 5 to 10 cats missing out of like 95, and yeah, it was rough to find without using the hints and that. And there's like, I think 10 different rooms, and there's like somewhere between 75 to 95 cats per room. So there's a lot of cats to find. You can access the next parts of the office. There are the different rooms by clicking on the door next to the door to the next room. You can also leave at any time and come back if you're stuck, and it'll keep your progress in the room. The cursor to find the cats was a little fiddly, which could be irritating at times, but overall I like this one.
Very good. $5 on this one too. Verdict?
Sure, buy it.
Cool. Next up, Rogue Raccoon, developed and published by Aphil Games, released July 23rd, Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Xbox, PC, $5 each. Get ready to sneak into the city's most overprotected museum, all for food. In Rogue Raccoon, you play as a fast and cheeky raccoon on a clear mission to clean out the food court, one hidden snack at a time. Bree and Jacob, both of you cover this. Jacob, start us off. What's Rogue Raccoon?
So Rogue Raccoon is an action platformer where you're playing this raccoon that is trying to gather up as much food as he possibly can, getting from point A to point B in the level. And yeah, like, there's really not much to the game. You get to throw around a boomerang. Like, the levels have traps and stuff like that, and it's easy to die quite a bit. And yeah, it's just you're trying to find the food and go from level, like, it.
I thought there was one really interesting thing about this, being that this is an Aphil game. You're in a museum filled with the artifacts of other Aphil games. So, like, paintings are of food from Fit and Fry and the sheep from Collie Call, where statues are the characters from Legends Aligned. I thought that that was kind of clever, like, way to reuse stuff that
I'm not going to lie, I did not notice that.
You didn't even notice that? Yeah. I thought that I was, didn't. Like, a nice way to repurpose, you know, things in their brand, right?
Okay, interesting. So we're now entering the Aphil Games cinematic universe.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. You can't play Rogue Raccoon without having played the Cursed Frog first. You just won't understand the storyline.
But yeah, there is, like, besides the boomerang, you can hit things with your tail, I think. You can dash, you can wall jump to reach the secret foods. There's, like, lasers and levers and all sorts of stuff. It's a very well-protected museum. And there's, like, 30 levels. The music was, like, the stereotypical sneaking heist music, and that was cute. I also like raccoons. I think raccoons are cute.
Yeah, I don't mind raccoons.
Anything else to say about this one?
There's checkpoints if you fall or get hit by obstacles, which is a cute raccoon in a trash can. You know, like halfway through the levels, that was nice. There's different other obstacles like robots and electric batons. Again, it's a very well protected museum.
Like what was that? Chopping Mall, horror movie from the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, a decent basic platformer.
All right. $5.
Yeah, for $5, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give it a try.
I thought it was good. I could give it a buy it.
Very good. One last game to talk about tonight, The Cursed Frog, developed and published by Aphil Games. Released July 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC for $4.99 each. Solve environmental puzzles, avoid treacherous traps, and use each form's unique abilities to forge a path through 30 carefully crafted levels. The day-night shift mechanic changes not only the scenery, but also the gameplay. Jump higher as the frog to reach hidden areas, or fight enemies as the princess with ranged attacks and agile dashes. Bree and Jacob, flip a coin. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go, Jacob, you can go.
It's like, yeah, no, I'm fine with that. So this is another platformer game, and this one you switch between a princess who then turns into a frog and vice versa. And when you're doing this, how you're able to handle enemies is different. As Joe said in the description, the frog has a double jump, that the princess doesn't have. However, the princess can, she has one more hit point than the frog, and could do like this. Like, what the heck is it? Is it like a laser?
It's a magic attack? Wand or something?
Magic wand? Yeah. Like, it looks like a laser attack, but it's not. Like, whatever it is. If you want to pretend that she has a laser, that's fine. If you want to pretend it's a wand, that's fine. And there's enemies and obstacles throughout the levels. Like, it's a standard stuff. Like a
platforming puzzler or a puzzle platformer. The other thing in the beginning is similar to Elphazer, which is another Aphil game where you have shifting platforms that phase in and out of reality.
Yes. Although honestly, I thought this was a bit easier than that one. I absolutely sucked at Elphazer. But this one also has This one also has like some timing puzzles with it as well, because there are platforms that that you pretty much will only get. I mean, it's not so much like you'll only get one shot, but they don't move in perpetual motion after you turn, like, after you flick the switch. And so if you missed it that one time, you're going to have to run back. I don't know if Bree ran into this because she doesn't suck at video games like I do, but it does make for some interesting panicky moments as like you have to switch between the two on the fly. And yeah, like I kind of dug this one, to be honest. Bree, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I had fun with this one. It was pretty short. I liked that there was these different things that you could do with the two different characters that you could switch between. The frog could fit in small spaces as well as his double jump or her double jump. I don't really know. I guess they're the same person, so it's a princess. But yeah, you're trying to like collect shooting stars or something or falling stars at the end of each level to break the curse. The enemies, there was like a bunch of different enemy types, like gophers that hop out of the ground, and then there's these jumping crickets and then the living trees that shoot branches at you. So you know, there was like some different stuff going on. For only being 30 levels, like, there was a decent amount of a variety in the game to keep it interesting. So, yeah.
All right, $5.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I'll go with it for $5.
Sounds good. All right, that is it for this episode.
Woo.
We done made it through. I'm debating if I want to play Arm Cannon's version of I'm a Real American.
No, because we don't want to celebrate Hulk Hogan.
But they end the song with Sexy Boy from Shawn Michaels. I don't know. I'll play some music. Jacob, in the words of the Iron Sheik, can you give us some final words to end the show?
Thank God I don't have to deal with this son of a bitch jabroni anymore.
Fuck the Hulk Hogan, Bubba. Come on, we can give something good.
That too. I was more about Macho Man Randy Savage impressions, to be honest.
Fuck the Hulk Hogan, Bubba.
Fucking bullshit.
I mean, I have a fucking button for that one. I could just play that if you want.
Oh, well, yeah, you should.
All right, Sheiky, final words to end the show.
Fucking bullshit!
I want to turn it down a little
bit. Beautiful.
Where's my money? Bitch, you won't push that button, bitch.
Oh, it's...